You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This weekend's UFC 262 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN. For your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello and happy Mother's Day, San Jose, and welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast, your home of the San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dylan Kayser, and I'm joined by Nick Floor. We also have producer Pigeon in the studio. Nick, well, we obviously heard how producer Pigeon's doing there with the little who's there, but
the Juans.
Nick, how you doing today, buddy?
I'd be doing better if Pigeon didn't leave a fat shit on my windshield this morning that I had to go get washed off.
Pigeon, was that you? Was that you, Pigeon?
It's been a long week.
There was this massive pigeon in the fucking tree above where my car is. This thing was like the size of a small cat. This thing was humongous. And I look at my windshield, it's got these two big-ass purple and white shits on the front of it. I'm like, okay, I guess we're gonna have to go take the car through the wash today. But hot damn, other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Those damn pigeons, I tell you, they will get you. They will get you. No producer T today. He's probably spending the weekend in trail as always. We have a little bit of Sharks to talk about. We're gonna talk about the loss against the Coyotes. Well, we actually lost two in a row against the Coyotes. We're only gonna really dive into the one game. I mean, Nick, at this point, it's a struggle to break down any game for the Sharks.
I mean, Team Tank is relishing its victories.
Yeah.
Or, well, I guess they're sort of victories. It's losses from the Sharks. But, I mean, you're seeing bits and pieces of positive things in these games. And at the end of the day, like, you don't want to intentionally lose. And we've said this multiple times. But, like, losing these games helps the Sharks in the long run. Gives them a better draft pick. So, to see them put things out on the ice that are okay to cheer for. This is just from my perspective, of course. You know, you're cheering for specific things to happen. You're seeing, like, Melnichuk get his start. You see Chekhovich get in there. Barabanov is just completely just lighting it up with the Sharks at just under a point per game pace right now. And just the multiple things that you can pull positive things from, but then they end up losing, and you're like, you know what? That's okay. That's closer to Brant Clark. That's one pick closer to Luke Hughes or Matt Beniers that we get.
Yeah, no, that is best case scenario, where you get good performances from young guys, take some positives out there, and you still get a loss. Closer to that first overall, we'll take it. We're also going to dive into some NHL news. Connor McDavid, 100 points in 53 games. John Tortorella not returning to the Blue Jackets. I don't know if the reggae horns were for old Tortorella there.
Either or.
Okay, so Tortorella not joining the Blue Jackets. We'll talk about that a little bit. But let's start off with this 5-4 loss to the Coyotes. Melnichuk's first game, and I'm not going to call him Melnichuk or whatever everyone else is calling him. It's Melnichuk to me. I don't care. I'm sticking with it, Nick. I'm sticking with it.
I like the Melnichuk because if he gets good, we like the Chuk-Chuk train.
Great point. That is a great point.
Some good sound bites for that one too.
That is like, exactly. Yeah.
It would be like Chichu, our own Luongo. You know,
let's go.
That could be a segment.
New Jonathan Chichu.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have our own Luongo. You know, when every time he'd make this amazing save, you just hear Lu. But we could all say Choo.
It went both ways.
Yeah, true.
Towards the end,
is he booing? Not so is much. He? Are they happy? No one knows.
I mean, either way, Melnichuk, first game as a San Jose Shark, looked a little shaky at times, but I think that's really to be expected. I think it's a great time of the year to put him in net. You know, the Sharks, the guys are still somewhat trying, but I mean, the results don't really matter at this point. So let's see this guy. Let's see what we have in him. I'm excited to see a few more games. Once he gets the nerves out of him, you know, that first game is always tough. Let's see what we have in him. And I think, you know, he could be a serviceable goalie for us moving forward.
Yeah, he looked the same as Josef Kozhinosh did in his first start. So, I mean, nothing. You know, you could see kind of some rebound control problems.
Oh, it sounds like we might have a phone call. You are on the Stick Hungry podcast. Who do we have here?
Hey, it's Shane.
Oh, it's Shane Van Nuys. Shane, how you doing today, buddy?
Good.
Nice weather out there, eh? Oh, I think we just lost Shane for a second there. What was that, Shane?
I said I'm just making some coffee.
Making some coffee. You spiked the coffee at all or what?
No.
Okay. How was the weekend? Did you do anything exciting? Play any basketball, get fouled or what?
No, I didn't play basketball. I made a rap for each of the podcasts, though.
Oh, you didn't make one for us?
No. I already made a bunch of raps for
you. All right, producer, cut him off.
Cut him.
Hang up on this. Shane Rap 2.0 is coming out on the SodaPod stream to a RSS feed near you.
Real original. You just stole our idea. So, you know, you can have it. We did it first.
Yeah.
What's up, Shane? What's going on?
If you could have a beer with any San Jose Sharks player, current San Jose Sharks player, who would it be?
Joe Thornton.
He doesn't play for San Jose, does he?
He said current, no. Nick. Come on.
I don't care. He's always the Sharks player in my mind.
You got to pick a current one.
Oof. Current one. That's a tough one. I'll say Burnsy.
Yeah, I mean, Burns would be a good option. I feel like, you know what? I feel like Erik Karlsson could be just like the biggest dick out there at the bar, which sometimes is fun to be around. And I think he might just get plastered. So I'll go Erik Karlsson.
What about any Shark of all time?
Actually, you know what? Evander Kane would be a good option, too. You know, go to the casino.
Yeah, but you're picking up the tab.
So. For the drinks.
Yeah, true.
Any Shark of all time, Habby Boulin, 100%.
Habby Boulin's up there. Dan Boyle's up there. Oh, that guy knows it's a party.
I want Douglas Murray.
Douglas Murray, yes. That's
the legend.
You know what, boys? You know what? I'm going to go. This is my final answer. Danny... the fucking all-star Heat.
I knew it. I knew you were going
to. Shane, who would you pick?
I think Evander Kane because he pays for the drinks.
Shane, you'd be paying for the drinks, buddy.
Yeah, but you're 100% picking up the tab.
Not pretty good with money, so I don't know.
Awesome, man. Shane, thanks for the call, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right, you too. Bye.
There we have it. The nicest of Shane's, Shane Van Nuys. How about
the nicest of Shane's that lives in a van?
At your boy SV.
I don't
know. He's got a nicer apartment than all of us.
Yeah, I don't think he lives in a van.
Nice.
Let's move on from the van talk.
big van guys over here.
Big van guys. John Leonard awkwardly falls into the boards. And it looks like his season is over. It was an unfortunate play. It wasn't really anyone's fault. He just caught an edge on the ice and went into the boards. Nick, what did you think of that?
It's tragic. You know, us at the John Leonard hype train were devastated when it took place. You know, Jeff Facoon and I were just, the train almost came to a complete halt. and then started going backwards. No, it just looked
started
pretty
rolling
bad.
Down the hill.
Exactly. It looks like he tripped on one of the Coyote skates. He was going in pretty hard for a puck on the boards in front of the Coyotes bench. Slips, face goes directly into the boards, and they said they saw blood on the ice during the broadcast. So he possibly cut like the bridge of his nose or something pretty bad with his visor, and he didn't go back to the game, and I'm assuming he's out for the entire year, like you said. So all two other games of it. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but it didn't seem like it was major.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's unfortunate. It is only two games, but at the end of the day, I mean, he had a pretty good rookie season. You'd like to see him finish it off, so it is unfortunate. Eric Carlson, producer Pigeon, I don't know if you can pull this clip up for us, but Eric Carlson dangling the hell out of Phil the Thrill Kessel was one of the best things to take out of this Arizona Coyotes game.
It reminded me of when Pavel Datsyuk deked out Logan Couture like on his birthday, I believe, and just made him look silly. But it was just beautiful.
Yeah,
we actually retweeted it out on the Stick Hungry podcast account. Like, six straight more years of this, please.
I mean, unbelievable. Deeks the hell out of Kessel. I mean, he deked him so hard, you can actually see the hot dog fly out of Phil Kessel's pocket. great move by Carlson. Unbelievable.
That's some, like, Sedin-esque dangles right there.
It is. It really is.
One more time. One more,
one more time here for the folks. Whoop. Oh, a little whoop, but how are you?
Literally made a pylon out of Phil Kessel there. Literally.
I love it. I love it. Still love Phil, but Eric Carlson, you made him look like a fool there. So goals for the San Jose Sharks this game. Balsers puts one up. Kevin LeBanc, actually, like, this guy was looking like Wesley. He was looking like Wesley Snipes out there. That was a pretty nice goal, eh?
Yeah, he dragged it, did a little toe drag action there, and then just, I think it was just glove side, just over the glove of Aiden Hill. So, I mean, too little too late, I guess, technically, but like,
I mean, that's basically everything for the Sharks right now, but
yeah. But you know, if you want to pull anything from it, it's like, okay, maybe it just took a very extremely long time for them to get into this groove, or maybe they're just playing a Arizona Coyotes team that's on the same level of motivation that they are. But
and we still lost the game.
Yeah. No, it was
why the fuck you lying?
Yeah, no, it's a great shot. We want to see more of that moving forward, especially in the next year when you can't use Patrick Marleau's record-breaking season as an excuse to keep him in the lineup, and you expect these core players to score. So we'll see how this goes moving forward, but I like to see more of that LeBanc.
Timo Meier also had a nice goal, power move in front of the net. The thing that kind of pisses me off about this goal is I expected Timo Meier to do this all season. He can make these moves. He's a big guy and he's a strong skater. And, you know, he pushed his way in front of the net and it was an easy tap in for him. I just wish we saw more of that from Timo Meier this year.
Yeah. I mean, how many times has he made that move and then elected to go to the outside and go around the net to try to make a play instead of doing what he did his entire rookie and sophomore season and score that goal almost exactly on, I think it was Jordan Binnington or during the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, again, another vintage move. I mean, we're seeing all these players like, oh, where the fuck has this been, you know?
Yeah, but, no kidding.
Hey, the more of that, the better. You know, maybe they can get that style of gameplay back under their feet and kind of take that into next season, you know, and train a little bit in the offseason and get a little harder to play against.
And Barabanov, your new boy there.
Barabanov!
Sure, he tied.
Was that a soundbite?
That's just a perfect name to call, no?
It is. I just didn't know if that was like in reference to something that,
like,
happened.
Barbie.
It just came to mind. I was like, man.
Barry.
But he...
Yabba-dabba-banov. I don't...
there's options. You got options for sure. But he scores late in the game to actually tie it up to bring it to overtime. like you said earlier in the show, Nick, Barabanov's looking good on the Sharks. I think he could be a player for us moving into next season.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks better than Ryan Donato. He looks better than John Leonard. He looks better than most Sharks forwards. So that's why he's getting the top line minutes right now with Hurdle and Kane, and he's earning them. I mean, like I said, he's just under a point a game, and he's got 7 points in 8 games played with the Sharks since that trade deadline. And I fully expect a one-year deal to come out of this play, probably somewhere around $1 million. Maybe shoot the over, shoot the under. I don't fucking know. Use your prop bet, DraftKings promo code THPN. But
it sucks Donato didn't pan out this year.
Yes.
I mean, he had flashes where he was good for a few games, and then he disappeared for like solid 20 games.
That's the storyline with Ryan Donato. And in Minnesota, we thought it was because he was being used on the fourth line, you know, not in a role where he could succeed. He was given every opportunity to succeed to what the Sharks had this year up front.
I agree.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I would not be surprised if he doesn't get signed to an extension or get signed just to be exposed.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Is Ryan Donato an upcoming RFA? Yes. Is that his status? Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, I think everyone's a bit disappointed in that. Like I said, at the start of the season, he was looking really good and looked like maybe we had a 15-20 goal scorer here, but it dried up. Phil Kessel actually ended off this game, which is unfortunate because, you know, Erik Karlsson dangled the fuck out of him. I think it was a little revenge there, getting the OT winner for Phil the Thrill Kessel. Anything else you want to talk about for this game, Nick?
You know, just going back to something I saw throughout this game that I want to see more of moving forward. I feel like what the Sharks coaching staff attempted to do in the beginning of the year obviously didn't work. And it's like they tried to fit Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns into this mold of defense first, right? Even though they went with like a super speedy type of offense, they tried to fit these guys into too much of a defense first mold. But something I saw in last night's Coyotes game, which was very different from what I've seen recently, was Erik Karlsson activating into the offensive zone an absolute fuck ton more than he had in the past. And I want to highlight some good defensive play from LeBanc. A couple of times where Karlsson activates into the offensive zone. LeBanc did a great job of covering on that blue line for him, the right side, easily. And that's something I'd like to personally see moving forward. You know, you're paying Brent Burns $8 million a year. You're paying Erik Karlsson $11.5 million a year. Allow these guys to go out and do what you're paying them to do. Even if it comes at the expense of making some of your better forwards drop back and do more of a defensive role, maybe that's the ticket that the Sharks need. Maybe that's that recipe that the Sharks need moving forward to generate more offense. It's to generate it from the blue line, but not necessarily just shoot the puck into some skates and hope it makes it through to one of your forwards, because that obviously didn't work. Another thing I just kind of wanted to highlight on is the power play, obviously abysmal. Just moving forward, Rocky Thompson, I expect him to make a bunch of changes. This is his first year in the NHL, you know, running that power play in the Bob Bugner system. There's a lot of like Rocky starts there.
Rocky Thompson.
Oh, how are you?
But
got him.
I expect a lot of changes to happen there. I know they went back to that Karlsson Burns power play duo, and it actually generated more shots than when they separated them, even though they may not have gotten through. I just expect these things to change moving forward, but there were also things that I saw them kind of adapt in this last couple of weeks that I kind of want to see them continue to do.
Yeah, I mean, you need these small changes, right? If this team's going to turn around at any point in the next few seasons, it's going to start with special teams. So if you can get the power play on track, that's a huge benefit for this team. Let's move on. Let's talk some Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid hitting 100 points in 53 games. I actually watched that last night with producer Pigeon here playing against the Vancouver Canucks. This guy's unbelievable. He's just hands down the best player in the league. You can't argue that point.
Yeah, not at all. He is the Mike Trout of the NHL. Like, he's just insane. It's
the last, sorry to cut you off there, but the last players to hit this milestone was Jágr and Lemieux in 1996, getting to 100 points in 53 games.
Those guys pretty good?
I don't know. Are they any good, producer Pigeon?
Hands pretty damn good.
Pretty good. Lemieux actually did it in, I believe, 38 games, which is unbelievable.
Twice. In the round 38 to 40 games. And he was just shy of 200. He was on pace for like a 200-point season. And I think he played 70 games and he was just under. And then he got injured towards the end of the season, as was Lemieux's entire season. But, man, if that guy was as healthy as Wayne Gretzky, both of them would be the GOATs.
Right? I agree.
It would be a two-headed monster. There'd be no argument that separates them as far as talented players, the most talented players who ever play the sport.
No, 100%. And they're such different players too, which is great, to be honest with you. That's what I love about it. You know, Lemieux is more of the power forward, I guess you could call him back in the day. And Gretzky, definitely not. He's more of the hockey IQ guy. He knows where to be and he knows where to put the puck. And Connor McDavid, it seems like this guy just has it all. It's really the speed.
Canadian Pavel Bure.
100%. Canadian Pavel Bure. The fact that he can stick handle at that speed that he can skate at is really why he's an impressive player. And at the end of the day, at the end of his career, he's going to be known as one of the best of all time.
Yeah,
something absolutely. I like to talk about when explaining like hockey to like beginners is there's like three different portions of the game. If you really kind of boil it down to something simple, you have the head, the hands, and the feet. If they can all play at the same speed and they're all the fastest, you're the greatest player. And that's what Connor McDavid is. His brain operates at the same speed that his hands do, and his hands are as fast as his feet.
Yeah,
and it's just insane.
Almost, how if he could finish some shootout or not shootout, but some breakaways a little more often, kind of like JT Miller, then he'd be okay.
I mean, he only has 100 points. See, what the problem is he needs like all five defensemen on him to be able to actually score those goals. Those breakaways, it just doesn't feel the same to him. It just feels like practice at that point. And then he tries doing weird shit. But no, it's amazing. I think I said I didn't think he was going to get to 100 points. I think we'll have to look at that.
How wrong were you, Nick?
Very.
Very wrong. Very wrong.
I just didn't think it could be possible in today's hockey. Like, you know, all due respect to Lemieux and Gretzky, but like that is insanely difficult in today's day and age of the NHL, getting 100 points on NHL caliber goalies in this year. It's crazy.
Well, and in that game too, what Larson hit 400 games, and then
Leon Draisaitl hit 500 points.
500 points. Yeah. I know there was something for Adam Larson to hit a milestone. Yeah, I think
600 games.
Maybe, 600 games. That's what it was. And then obviously Connor McDavid with 100 points. So I mean, that team got after it last night. You can imagine.
Yeah, and the biggest one of all, Tyler Greivac getting his first NHL goal for the Vancouver Canucks.
A fucking beauty.
That's a name you'll probably never hear again, folks.
No, Tyler Greivac. It's a name you'll definitely hear because Jim Benning is going to give him a 3-year, $3 million contract per.
All right, let's take a turn here before we go down Canuck Road. Let's talk a little bit about John Tortorella not returning to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, Nick, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think he would be a good fit for the San Jose Sharks? I know we joked about this a few weeks ago, but do you think he would be a fit here?
No.
No, there you go. Simple answer.
Doug Wilson has too big of a ego to clash with the... To kind of put like an analogy on it, I think it would be for San Francisco 49ers fans out there listening, it would be a Harbaugh situation where the head coach's ego, along with the general manager and the owner, not in this case the owner, mainly the general manager, would just come to head, and it would not be a very good fit.
What if you just hire John Tortorella for like 2 weeks, and it would be like a scared straight scenario where you bring
would just flip, right?
Where you bring no, like this is not even to deal with hockey. Like you bring the guys in, and it's like a John Tortorella camp for 2 weeks, and he just screams at the guys, he breaks them down, and then they go back and they can play after. But for just a 2-week job, quick job, you know, break the guy's spirits down a little bit. A
little tort job.
A little tort job. I think it would do a lot for us.
They introduce him as the new head coach, and so everyone just starts shitting. And then they go through 2 weeks and like, oh my God, it's actually going to be a thing. It's like, oh, by the way, he's not going to be the head coach, but keep fucking around. Fucking around, man.
Exactly. Rick Tocchet, actually, news coming out today that he won't be returning to the bench for the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, hey, that's another name out there. I think he's going to be able to get a job pretty easily in the NHL. He's a pretty decent head coach. Again, I don't know if he'd be a fit for the San Jose Sharks. I don't know if the Sharks are in the position to even hire a new head coach, but hey, he's in the market. Another guy in the market.
It's one of those situations where Doug Wilson is going to double down on his double down. And he's going to continue to stick with his core. He's going to stick with his young guys. And he's going
to. Has that been a triple down?
I think it's a quadruple if you're doubling on a double.
Oh, right. You're double doubled. Yeah.
Yeah. Or that's just like a special category in Jeopardy.
Well, a double double actually in Canada is what, 219 for a medium?
It's probably gone up these days.
Gone up, double double.
It's almost $3.
Big shout out to
In and Out. You know, it's an In and Out item over here in California.
Oh, okay.
The double double cheeseburger.
Oh, no. I'm sure that can get confusing when Canadians go down there.
No, this is this is a double double like coffee.
Yeah, definitely not here.
Two cream, two sugar, baby.
Two cream, two sugar. All right.
You say double double in California, you're like going In and Out right now? I'll get the slides on. Let's go.
All right.
Finish this bowl like that.
amazing. That's
of cereal. Bowl of cereal. Come on, guys. Okay, jeez. Jesus.
Producer Pigeon, just immature. All right. What do we got coming up? I think we have, well, there's no producer tea here today, but I think Producer Pigeon did put a little bit of work in getting some tea time questions. So I think we're gonna dive into some tea time, and then we're gonna do the draft lottery simulator. So you can get that first overall for the San Jose Sharks. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. And on the other side, we have tea time.
Good morning, asshole, and welcome to f***ing tea time.
With Producer T.
And by the way, folks, you can comment on the live stream. This is the quietest live stream that we've had in a long time. Shane called in, so I guess he wouldn't be commenting, but still, send out the bad signal right now.
Shane was telling me he had some questions for tea time, but they were more suited to be asked directly to Producer T, who must be in trail because he's not here. I was asking him stuff while we were prepping this. We didn't find out he wasn't going to come until the last minute here.
The last minute kind of guy. But
spotty you have service out there. Eh?
Spotty service out in trail.
Shooting the bat signal out, T. This is your segment.
Your boy SV. I don't know much about the Sharks. He's commenting on Twitter.
Sharks are an aquatic animal. They live in the ocean.
Okay, well, Shane, you don't need to know much about the Sharks to chime into this tea time segment. I'll hit you guys with the questions that I was hoping to give to Producer T. What washes
don't up cry now. Don't cry.
On tiny beaches?
What washes up on tiny beaches? Washes up on tiny beaches.
You're gonna hate me for all these, by the way.
Oh man, what washes up on tiny beaches? I don't know.
These are all dad jokes, aren't they?
These are all dad.
Every single one.
Oh,
some
no.
Microwaves.
Never in a million years would I guess that.
Father of me is proud of you.
How do you make holy water?
How do you make holy water?
Poking a couple holes in them. Straining it.
How do you make holy water?
You're going to hate me for this one, too.
You blow bubbles in it. I don't know.
You boil the hell out of it.
Hey, that was pretty close.
That was pretty close.
Hey.
Reading while sunbathing makes you?
Reading while sunbathing makes you?
Well read.
Oh my god, I was thinking red something. I was
oh,
like,
that's good. That's good.
Oh man.
This one's easy, but this one I could imagine T's brain would go into such a pretzel. What do you call a wife of a hippie?
Wife of a hippie. I don't know.
Think inside the box.
A whiffy?
Mississippi.
Mississippi. Oh, that's a good one. Hey, that's a hell of a tea time this week. Is that it? Yeah.
No, there's two more.
Oh, right? Two more.
Yeah. Oh, God.
How does Moses make coffee?
How does Moses make coffee?
I literally told you this one earlier.
Did you?
Yeah.
He's got to part something, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking.
He brews it, boys.
Oh, yeah, he brews it. Oh, that's good.
Last one.
Last one. All right.
This one, like, if T better be listening back to this, and he better get this
one. He's not going to listen back.
What did one flag say to the other?
One
flag. How's it hanging?
That's good.
How's it hanging? Didn't they just wave?
Oh!
Oh!
Strong, Dylan. Let's go.
Yeah, that was a good one, boys. That was a good one.
Those were some tough questions.
Yeah,
from me sweating.
Nymo's finest blogger.
Nymo's you better best. Be wearing some jean shorts with some New Balances when you thought of those.
Grilling up some sausages on the grill. Those are some
polo tucked in.
I've literally just been looking up pun riddles, marijuana, and a good list come up.
Thanks, Google.
Yeah. Thank you, Google.
Yeah, when you ask us those questions, actually, you should have some like barbecue utensils like pointing at us.
Some grilling sounds in the background.
Yes.
Oh, that would activate my inner dad. I would have gotten all of them. It wouldn't have been fair.
True.
Hey, T needs all the help he can get these days.
T needs all the help he can get.
Latest edition of Tea Time. There you go.
There's Tea Time. And now it is time for the Draft Lottery Simulator. All right, the pigeon face always gets me every time
it's there.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It is. All right, the Draft Lottery Simulator. This is our only chance at something positive for the San Jose Sharks is getting us that first overall pick. Pigeon, what are the chances of us getting the first overall pick? Have it up on the
6%.
6%, and to be in the top two, 12.3%, and we're in spot number 8. So hey, we're gonna get a top 10 pick, folks.
If you look here really quick at these numbers, Columbus and Detroit, and I believe that's it. There's a possibility of a couple of teams flopping behind us if the Sharks lose out. So I believe we could get as high as either 6th or 7th at this point.
Okay,
but we will see.
We will see. We shall.
Or you could win the lottery. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, let's roll. Let's go with the first one. Drum roll, please. There we go. Run the simulator, and the first overall pick, my God, goes down the road to the Anaheim Ducks. And then the second overall pick, this isn't any better. Los Angeles Kings moving up 7 spots. Moving down 2 spots was the Buffalo Sabres at number 3 and the San Jose Sharks moving down 1 spot to number 9.
And I do see here you have Bob McKenzie's midseason draft ranking. So
that I do.
If everything were to go as per this this little draft ranking, the Sharks would have the ability to select Chaz Lucius, the USHL center, 6'1", 185 pounds. And they could use their centers because they're thin, like thin mints.
They are.
Position.
Hey, and I was looking at I was reading about Kent Johnson earlier, and if that guy drops down to our pick, I'd be willing to take him as well. Played 3 seasons in Trail, so he knows a thing or two.
In worst case Ontario, you get caught.
Yeah, worst case Ontario. All right, so Nick, I think it's your turn to go, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I can give it the old share if we're going. I thought we were doing multiple different.
I can go once more, and then we'll give you two, and we'll keep it on the producer Pigeon. He can keep the screen up.
Okay.
Give him something to do around here. All right, Pigeon. Let's go again. Let's run this baby. All right, the first overall pick, going to the Vancouver Canucks, moving up 1 spot. In number 2, the Buffalo Sabres moving down 1 spot was the Buffalo Sabres. Moving down 1 spot is the Anaheim Ducks at number 3. San Jose Sharks stay put at number 8. There you have it.
8 and 9. And there's Kent Johnson, by the way, sitting there waiting for you.
There you go. Take Kent Johnson. Or do you go for the goalie, Nick? I know you've been
Don't get me started on Jesper Wallstedt.
I mean, I'd be tempted.
Is another goaltender out there that I've been hearing of, Sebastian Casa, who's just doing absolutely amazing. And the Edmonton Oil Kings. I think he's got like a 942 save percentage or something right now. It's absolutely bonkers. His goals against average is under 2.
Yeah, 1.45, which is unbelievable. He's 6'6", 210 pounds. He's the mold of a modern NHL goaltender.
And honestly, if the Sharks could somehow, some way, right, if they keep their first round pick and they draft whoever it is, where 8th, 9th, 6th, 7th, wherever the hell they end up, right? If they find a way to trade back into the first to grab like a Sebastian Casa, if he's sitting there and the price is right, I would be down for that.
Oh, 100%. That would be a game changer for this organization.
Yeah.
All right. Are we going to do Knicks? Go here and a little drum roll, please.
moving up 10 spots to get the first overall pick as the Calgary Flamed out this year. Who knows what they would pick? They're probably going to trade Gaudreau, everybody else. Send
it would be
the
highest pick in Calgary Flames history. Sam Bennett being
they would make sure they picked someone born in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Just to keep the trend going from last offseason.
By the way, Sam Bennett on a fucking tear with Florida right now. Mm-hmm. It's insane. The most points by any player who's ever joined the Panthers in a row. I think he has like 10 points in, I don't know, however many games. Damn. But he passed that Pavel Bure's record when Bure was traded to Florida. So poor Calgary Flames.
Poor Flames. Ooh-hoo. Bennett loving the sun. But they get the first overall pick, at least in this scenario. So they can't be too angry.
I think the worst part about this scenario is Ottawa actually moves up because technically they are lower on the draft to the Sharks right now. They're behind us.
Right.
So they move up 8 spots to take the second overall. So that means everyone in front has to move down 2 spots. So the Sharks end up at 10th overall. Lo and behold, who's on Bob McKenzie's midseason draft rankings at 10th overall? By golly, it's Jesper Wallstedt. So hot damn.
By golly.
By golly. All right, let's run it again. One more for Nick.
Uno and then we'll do, we gotta do one for the fans. So
we'll do one for the fans, of course. And that's when we're gonna get first overall.
Of course.
All right, let's run it. Oh, there you go.
Oh my god, throw it out the fucking window. Set it on fire. The Los Angeles Kings move up 8 spots to take the first overall pick. Because God knows they need more of those. Sharks, I believe, will then move down to 9th. Yes. Yeah, the Sharks move down to 9th. So The current trend for the Sharks is anywhere between 8 and 10 right now. Obviously, that can change over the course of the next 3 days. Season ends for the Sharks this coming Wednesday when they face the season finale against the Vegas Golden Knights. But yeah, I mean, nothing really exciting there. We're gonna do
all right. Let's hope the one for the fans pulls through.
Yeah, let's see it. Run it for the fans. Let's go. Here we go. And that's what I'm talking about. That's why we do one for the fans, folks. First overall pick, the San Jose Sharks moving up 7 spots. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Where's Steve? Steve's like, is this live? Is this fucking live?
Is this real life? Oh, that's amazing.
Steve just knows I'm here today.
I mean, for me, especially being a guy from British Columbia, this is the best case scenario. San Jose Sharks move up 7 spots to the first overall pick.
I didn't even see Vancouver. I got so stoked.
Yeah, the Vancouver Canucks move up 6 spots to the number 2 spot, and Buffalo moving down 2 to number 3.
You got to love seeing those new Pacific rivals of the Canucks 2 dropping all the way to 5 in the Seattle Kraken.
Oh, yeah, the Kraken moving down. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. There you have it. That was a draft lottery simulator.
Love it. What a segment. Love it there. Course. And you guys get the opportunity to have the Shane Van Nice's patented Who's Hughes line.
The who?
Who's I'll Hughes? Never let that go.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, if the Vancouver Canucks do get the first or second overall pick.
I don't care if there's someone who's slated to go first anyways. You pick the other Hughes brother. Just do it.
Just for the line, you know?
Do it.
Just for even the over Hughes like line.
You got Dylan Gunther just fucking tearing up. Nah, we need the Hughes boy.
No, exactly.
Give me the Hughesy.
We're all about bloodlines.
Trust me, the Canucks need positive PR more than they need success on the ice right now. So get that Hughes brother in town.
Which is actually incredible. All right. Well, I think that's it for this episode of the podcast. Boys, do you have anything else you want to touch on before we mosey on out of here?
No, it's been a quiet live stream.
Actually, you know what? I don't know. Something reminded me.
Okay.
But something happened last night that I thought was pretty fun.
Wait, what?
So myself and producer Pigeon, we go. This sounds a bit random. We go down to a bakery at about almost 10 o'clock last night.
Well, give the backstory about why.
Like, okay, so getting a Mother's Day present last night. Go to get a gift card during the day. New worker said, you know, I can't do this. They haven't shown me how to do it. Come back at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm like, 8 o'clock tonight.
Especially when the hour say closes at what? 2 p.m. At
2 p.m. So anyways, we watch the Edmonton Vancouver game. We come back to the bakery to get my gift card. And while I'm in there, producer Pigeon, he didn't have his mask. So he didn't come in with me. And he's just standing outside the window, kind of on the one side of the bakery, looking in, staring at one of the signs.
Well, I was taking a look at everything that was there. I was reading the signs. My mother's gluten free, so I was looking to see if there's anything I could, you know, get for her. And I was staring, okay?
And I didn't really notice him. And then the lady asked me, she's like, are you with that guy? And I was like, which guy? She's like, that guy over there. So I look over and Isha's outside. I had just dropped his name too. It wasn't producer Pigeon. It was Isha. Isha's outside the window with like black toque, black hoodie, black pants, just glaring, staring into the bakery.
Reading. I was reading.
And she's like, yeah, we've had a stalker around here lately. And I think that might be the guy. She's like,
Well, and also, like, it's not in the best part of town, so I think there's like a tent city just across the street, so it's like a humming.
They thought Isha of the soda pod was their stalker. Second,
and I was like, oh, they're probably like asked something about me, but like they're probably like, hey, what does he want? Does he want to order something?
No, it was just hilarious thinking. Though, because when they asked me, is that guy with you? I looked over expecting you to be like kind of walking around or something, but no, stone cold, standing straight, just staring into the bakery. Oh, man.
It's like some good looking bread.
Give me some Nanamo bars.
All right. Well, there was my bakery story. Big shout out to Red's Bakery in Nanaimo. Red's
Bakery in Nanaimo. And fuck the Night Owls. You should have named your baseball team the Nanaimo Bars.
This means nothing to you in California, but there you go. There you go. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. And Nick, are we done here? Oh, actually, we need a shout out to our Twitter handles. We haven't done
and
that.
And Kyle's.
Who's that? You can follow myself at @DYL_THPN. You can follow the show, the Stick Hungry Podcast, at Stick Hungry Pod. And you can follow the network at Hockey Pod Net. Nick?
You can find me on Twitter at @NickFloor_. And you can find Kyle McLaren on Twitter at @McLaren_K, where he uploaded a beautiful picture of the new deck that he just built for his neighbor. So go ahead and take a look there. Drop us a follow.
Two whole months to build a deck. Hopefully, he can come back on the podcast.
Hopefully, he can come. Hope he doesn't get another job.
It's a great looking deck, though. It's a great looking deck.
No, hey, he did a great job. He threw some stain on that bitch and it looks good. Producer Pigeon, what's your Twitter handle?
Producer_Pigeon.
Okay, there you go. I like it. What about
the final game season preview this coming Tuesday, correct? Are we going to live stream?
I can give you the preview right now. We're going to lose. We're going to lose bad.
Wouldn't it be? So this is what I want to happen. This is what I want. I'm going to say it again on Tuesday's episode. I want it to come down to where if Vegas wins in any fashion, they get the first seed. But if they lose in any fashion to the Sharks, they get the second seed and they have to face the Minnesota Wild in the first round. Because, God, I know every single Vegas Golden Knights, the podcasters, the fans, they're shitting themselves at the thought of having to face Mr. Kaprizov in the playoffs. Like, they're just shaking in their boots. They're like, oh, God, please, I just want the first seed. Please.
Exactly that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a 1-2 punch in Minnesota. You got Kaprizov up front, then about just behind him, you have Victor Rask. You got no fucking chance against the Wild.
Nope.
Hey, scored in overtime against the Ducks the other day.
There you have it. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Stick Hungry Podcast. And Nick, I think we did decide we are gonna do a live stream, for the finale.
Oh, you got it.
We got it. So Tuesday. Catch us on the live stream. All right, folks. Have a great Sunday.